The New Testament. Back to the book. The New Testament is both a continuation of the story we've already seen in the Old Testament and something very new. In the Old Testament, we saw how God called a people to himself and how he made a covenant of love with that people. God promised he would always be with them. God never turns back on his promises, even when we turn away from him with our sins. And the New Testament is the story of how God defeated the power of sin through the life and death of his only Son. Jesus was born, human like us, in a cave in Bethlehem. He went about proclaiming that the kingdom of God was near, and he called us to turn back to God with all our heart, soul, and strength. Jesus called the apostles and disciples to follow him and to share in his mission. He gave us the Beatitudes, which are a fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. The Beatitudes challenge us to be as loving and merciful as God is. And then on Calvary, Jesus took up his cross and died for us, sealing his new promise, the new covenant, with his own blood. Even then, his love knew no limit. God the Father raised Jesus from the dead so that death could no longer have power over him and so that we could have the promise that one day we will rise with Jesus. He then sent his Holy Spirit to fill us with his life, making us into a church. Now you're going to learn more about the Rosary in a couple of weeks, but briefly, it's a prayerful way of recalling and meditating on the most important events of the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. There are 20 of these events called mysteries, and each one is pictured on one of the windows here that you can see during the daytime. We're going to put them up here so you'll be able to see what they look like. And in your binder, you should have a copy of God Windows. And starting on page 26, if you happen to have it with you today, but you don't need to, that booklet names each mystery and gives you the Bible passage and the reference to look up, to read in the Bible about that particular window. So we're going to give you a quick description of each of the mysteries, which are the major events in Jesus' life that are pictured in the window. And we're starting with Kathy and the joyful mysteries. The joyful mysteries. The first joyful mystery is the Annunciation, which means the announcement. In this mystery, the angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary and said, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you." The angel Gabriel told her that she would give birth to the Savior. Mary said yes. She accepted the commission. And the angel Gabriel also told Mary that her cousin Elizabeth, who was very old and was never able to have children, was now expecting a baby. The second joyful mystery is the Visitation. With Jesus now conceived in her womb, Mary traveled to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. When Mary and Elizabeth saw each other, John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth then said to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The third joyful mystery is the Nativity, or the birth. The Romans who ruled over the area where the Israelites lived decided that a census was to be taken. Everyone had to return to their birthplace to be counted. As a result, Mary and her husband Joseph were required to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Jesus was born in the middle of night in a cave, which was a stable. Three wise men and shepherds came to visit. They told Mary how they had come to be there. Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. This is the story of Christmas. The fourth joyful mystery is the Presentation. According to Jewish ritual of the time, the firstborn child had to be presented to God in the temple. When Jesus was 40 days old, he was taken by his parents, Mary and Joseph, to the temple. There, they met a priest named Simeon, who had been told by God that he would not die until he had seen the Savior. Simeon recognized the infant Jesus as the Savior. Simeon foretold for Mary and Joseph that Jesus would cause many in Israel to fall and to rise again, and that sorrow would pierce Mary's heart like a sword. And the fifth joyful mystery is the finding of Jesus in the temple. When Jesus was 12 years old, the Holy Family went to Jerusalem to the temple to celebrate the Passover. Mary and Joseph traveled home in a caravan of their extended family members. During their first night out from Jerusalem, on their way home, they realized that Jesus was missing. They were worried, so immediately they traveled back to Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple talking with the teachers. When Mary saw Jesus, she said to him, "We've been looking for you." Jesus responded that he was doing his father's business. Mary and Joseph didn't quite understand what he was talking about. Then Jesus went home with his parents, and the Bible tells us that he was obedient to them.
So now we'll go over the luminous mysteries, or the mysteries of light. First luminous mystery is the baptism of the Lord. News had gone out throughout Israel that after 400 years, God had raised up a new prophet who was baptizing people in the Jordan River. He baptized people who were sorry for their sins. John told everyone that he baptized with water, but that someone greater than him was coming who was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. One day that very person came to John. It was Jesus Christ. Jesus presented himself to John the Baptist and was baptized. As Jesus was being baptized, John saw the heavens open up above Jesus' head, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. Then John heard a voice from heaven say, "Behold, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Second luminous mystery is the wedding at Cana. Jesus, his disciples, and Mary were invited to a wedding. At the wedding party, the host ran out of wine. Running out of wine was a major social fox?
Faux pas.
Oh, there's a paw after that. Okay. A faux pas. At that time. Okay. Mary noticed the problem and told Jesus that the wine had run out. Jesus responded by saying that it really wasn't that big of a problem, and it was not time to go public with his ministry. Being persistent, Mary said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." So Jesus instructed the servants to bring 6 large stone jars into the hall. Each jar was large enough to hold about 25 gallons. Jesus then told the servants to fill the jars with water. When they began to draw out of the jars, they found that the water had turned into wine. And not just any wine, but the very best wine. This was Jesus' first miracle, which began his public ministry. In the Bible, it says that when his disciples saw this, they believed in him. The third luminous mystery is the proclamation of the kingdom. After Jesus' baptism and his first miracle at the wedding of Cana, Jesus left Piety of Nazareth to travel far and wide to preach the good news, which is also called the gospel. Crowds followed Jesus as he traveled throughout the region, Galilee, and he left their hearts with his words. Jesus told the people to repent of their sins, and he announced that the kingdom of God was coming. The kingdom of God was at hand. Jesus also commissioned his apostles to go out and spread the word, empowering them to cure the sick and cast out demons. The fourth luminous mystery is the transfiguration. On the way to Jerusalem, where he would be crucified, Jesus told his disciples of his coming suffering and death. They were deeply saddened. To raise their spirits, he took Peter, James, and John with him up a mountain. Suddenly, Jesus became transfigured. His bodily appearance changed. His clothes turned dazzling white and his face shone. Then Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus. They were all talking with him. Understandably, the disciples were very uneasy about this. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While they were still speaking, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them. Then, from inside the cloud, they heard a voice say, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." The disciples were now terrified. Jesus took them each by the hand and brought them back to a standing position. Ultimately, they found themselves all alone with Jesus as they came down the mountain. Jesus told them not to tell anyone about this until after his resurrection. The fifth luminous mystery, the institution of the Eucharist. This mystery took place at the Last Supper. Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover meal. They ate lamb just as the Israelites did before they left Egypt. They ate bitter herbs to remember the bitter years of slavery of the Israelites in Egypt. Then Jesus took some of the bread. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." Then he took a cup of wine, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. It will be shed for you so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." This transformation of the bread and wine into his body and blood was the gift that Jesus gave to his disciples. His disciples were the first bishops, and this command to eat and drink his body and blood was carried on and passed on to bishops and priests since that time throughout 2,000 years of the church, even till this day.
The sorrowful mysteries. The agony in the garden. When the Last Supper, the Passover meal, was almost over, Jesus and the disciples sang a psalm to praise God. Then they got up and left with Jesus. Jesus took his disciples with him to the Garden of Gethsemane. He left most of his disciples at the gate to the garden, but took Peter, James, and John inside with him. Then Jesus asked them to pray with him, but the disciples could not stay awake. As Jesus prayed, he asked God the Father to take the suffering away from him and allow his plan to take place in some other way. But Jesus prayed that not his will be done, but God's will would be done. It soon became clear that it was not the Father's plan to remove the suffering from Jesus. Jesus submitted his will to that of his Father, because Jesus was obedient to the Father and because Jesus loves us. The second sorrowful mystery, the scourging at the pillar. After being handed over to the Roman authorities by the Jewish high priest, Jesus was cross-examined by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, but the crowds were convinced by the high priest that Jesus must die. And so Pilate tried to satisfy the crowds by ordering that Jesus should be scourged or beaten. Jesus was then tied to a pillar and whipped 39 times. The crown of thorns, the third sorrowful mystery. Jesus was badly beaten by the scourging. Regardless, the soldiers took a purple robe and placed it on him. They gave him a scepter made of reeds. Then they made a crown out of thorns and put it on his head, digging in the thorns. They began to ridicule Jesus. They knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "All hail, King of the Jews." They spit in his face and they slapped him repeatedly. Jesus did not respond to their taunts. The fourth sorrowful mystery, the carrying of the cross. Jesus was condemned to death by the Romans. They led Jesus out to the streets, placed a wooden cross on his shoulders, and made him carry it to the place where he was to die. When they reached the hill called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, the Roman soldiers stripped Jesus of his clothes and nailed him to the cross. Then they set up on the cross a sign which read, "Jesus, the Nazarene, King of the Jews." And the fifth sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion. Jesus was nailed to the cross at about 9 in the morning between two criminals. One verbally abused Jesus, but the second chastised the first one, asking him if he had no fear of God and saying that while they deserved this fate, Jesus did not. Jesus died about 3 in the afternoon. On the cross, Jesus prayed to the Father, saying, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." All of his disciples had fled. By this time, at the foot of the cross remained his mother and his disciple John. Jesus gave Mary to John to be his mother, and from that time on, Mary lived with John. Jesus' last words on the cross were, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." With that, Jesus died. A great darkness came over the land. The earth shook. Rocks split in two. Tombs were opened up. In the temple, the curtain that set apart the holiest of holies tore in half. The Roman officers in charge of the soldiers said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Jesus' body was taken down and placed in a tomb.
The glorious mysteries. The first glorious mystery is the resurrection. 3 days after Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus appeared to his mother and his disciples. He showed them the wounds in his hands, feet, and side. He was not a ghost. They could actually touch his wounds. Jesus had risen from the dead, as he said he would. The second glorious mystery is the ascension. Jesus continued to appear to the disciples for many days after he had risen from the dead. 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus led his disciples to a hillside outside of Jerusalem. Jesus blessed them and told them to go back to Jerusalem to wait for the fulfillment of the Father's promise to send them a helper, the Holy Spirit. Then before their eyes, Jesus rose into the clouds and ascended into heaven. The third glorious mystery is the descent of the Holy Spirit, or Pentecost. After Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples gathered together with Mary in the upper room in Jerusalem, where the Last Supper had taken place. They spent their time in prayer. On the 10th day after Jesus ascended into heaven, a sound like a mighty wind filled the whole house, and tongues of fire came to rest over the heads of each one there. This was the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the disciples. Before receiving the Holy Spirit, they were afraid. After receiving the Holy Spirit, they were filled with courage and feared nothing. At the same time in Jerusalem, many people had come to the city to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, a feast celebrated 50 days after Passover. There were Jews from all over the world, and they spoke many different languages. Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, went out to speak to the Jews and to tell them about Jesus. All of the Jews could understand Peter as if he was speaking to each one in his own language. Many listened to what Peter had to say, and about 3,000 were baptized that day. The fourth glorious mystery is the Assumption of Mary.
A long tradition holds that when Mary died, her body and soul were not separated, but that she was taken up, or assumed, into heaven, body and soul. This means that her body never experienced corruption like the rest of us when we die. We see Mary as a sign of what our future holds, that one day our souls and bodies will be joined together in heaven, where we will live forever with God, as Mary does now. The fifth glorious mystery is the coronation of Mary. In this mystery, Mary is crowned the Queen of Heaven. We are told about that in the last book of the Bible, which is called Revelation. Throughout history in the kingdoms of the world, the mother of the king was an important and influential figure. Given that in the ancient times, kings often had many wives rather than just one, it made sense to honor the mother of the king as the queen of the kingdom. If Jesus is the King of Kings, then his mother Mary is our queen.
One of the themes that we've seen throughout the Old Testament and so far in the New is the idea of wilderness or desert. We saw that the people of Israel were out there for 40 years with Moses before they came to the Promised Land. And we heard that John the Baptist, when he first started preaching, was preaching out in the desert. Well, before he started his public ministry, Jesus went out to the desert too. The temptation of Jesus in the desert. After Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him into the desert to pray. For 40 days he ate nothing. But when the 40 days were ended, he was famished. At that moment, Satan came to Jesus to tempt him. "If you are the Son of God," said he, "command that these stones become loaves of bread." Jesus answered, "Not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then Satan led Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, and brought him to the top of a high tower on the temple and said to him, "Now show that you are the Son of God by throwing yourself down to the ground. You know that it is written in the book of Psalms, 'He shall give his angels charge over you, and upon their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It is written further, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Satan led him to the top of a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Then he said, "All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me." But Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan. It is written, 'The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve.'" When Satan found that Jesus would not listen to him, he left him. Then the angels of God came to Jesus in the desert and waited for him. Jesus traveled around the country, teaching the people and preaching the good news. Many people came to listen to him.
The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. On the mountain, Jesus preached to his disciples and to the great crowd of people who had gathered there. Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God and how people must live who become members of it. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people hate you and persecute you, and speaking falsely of you, say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven. For so did they persecute the prophets who were before you."
Jesus taught and preached for 3 years, and he often taught in parables. One of the most famous is the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans were people who lived in Israel and believed in the same God, but they did not worship at the temple in Jerusalem. Because of this, they were not considered part of the people and nation of Israel. They were outsiders, outcasts, and pretty much enemies of Israelites.
The Good Samaritan. At that time, one of the scribes, men who wrote copies of the books of the Old Testament, studied them and taught them, came to Jesus and asked him a question. "Master, what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus said to the scribe, "What is written in the law?" The scribe answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole strength, and with your whole mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered right. Do this, and you shall have everlasting life." But the man was not satisfied. He asked another question, "And who is my neighbor?" To answer this question, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. He said, "A certain man was going down the lonely road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. They stripped him of all that he had and beat him, and then went away, leaving him almost dead. It happened that a certain priest was going down that road, and when he saw a man lying there, he passed on the other side. And a Levite, also one of the holy men who served at the temple, when he came to that place and saw the man, he too went by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he was going down, came where the man was. And as soon as he saw him, he felt pity for him. He came to the man and dressed his wounds, pouring oil and wine into them. Then lifted him up, set him on his beast of burden, and walked beside him to an inn. There he took care of him all night. The next morning, he took out from his purse 2 coins and gave them to the keeper of the inn and said, 'Take care of him. And if you need to spend more than this, do so. And when I come again, I will pay you.' Which of these 3 do you think showed himself a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The scribe said, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do in like manner."
Perhaps the most beloved of the parables Jesus taught is the story of the prodigal son, but it's really all about the forgiving father. There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the property." And when the father had given him his share, the young man went to a distant country and spent the money foolishly. And when he had spent all he had, there was a severe famine in that country, and he became hungry. So he got a job as a keeper of pigs. For food, he had to be satisfied with what was left over after the pigs had finished eating. When he came to his right mind, he said to himself, "How many of my father's servants have enough to eat and to spare? And here I am dying of hunger. I will go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Let me be a hired servant in your house.' So he started homeward. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him. The father ran to meet him and kissed him and held him tightly. 'Father, I have done wrong in the sight of God and of you,' cried the boy. 'I am not worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best clothes and put them on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and let us feast and be glad today. for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they had a great feast. But the elder son had been out in the field all the while, and now he came near to the house. How many years have I obeyed you? Said the elder son to his father. And you never even gave me a young goat to eat with my friends. But now that this rascal comes back after wasting all your money, you give a grand feast for him. Son, said his father, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Let us be happy and rejoice, for your brother was dead and has come to life. He was lost and is found.
During Jesus' ministry, he also performed many miracles and healings. One of these involved some people suffering from leprosy. What the Bible calls leprosy was a very contagious and disfiguring skin disease. People who caught it were excluded from the community.
The 10 lepers. As Jesus was entering a certain village on his way to Jerusalem, 10 lepers met him. They were not allowed to live among other people because of their disease. So they stood far away and cried out with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when Jesus saw them, he had pity on them and told them to come closer. He said to them, Go show yourselves to the priest, that they may declare that you are clean again and cured of your disease. On their way, they were cured. And they were so happy that they did not even think of coming back to Jesus to thank him. Only one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned and bowed low before Jesus and thanked him with all his heart. And he was not even a Jew, but a Samaritan, remembering that Samaritans were considered outcasts by the people of Israel. Then Jesus asked, Were not the 10 made clean? But where are the 9? Did no one come back and thank God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, Arise, go your way, for your faith has saved you.
Remember from the Old Testament the miracle of the manna. God did not let his people go hungry in the desert. Jesus also made sure that his followers were fed.
The miracle of the loaves and the fishes. One day when Jesus saw how eager the crowds were to hear him, he took pity on them and spent some time teaching them and healing the sick. Toward evening, some of the apostles asked Jesus to send the crowd away, for it was near their supper time. But Jesus said to them, They need not go away. You can give them food to eat. Philip, an apostle, looked at the great crowd, over 5,000 men, besides women and children, and he said, We don't have enough money to buy bread enough to give everyone even a little piece. Then another apostle, Andrew, Peter's brother, said to Jesus, There's a boy here. He has 5 loaves of barley bread, and 2 dried fishes. But what use would they be among so many people? Jesus said to the apostles, Go out among the people and divide them into groups of 50 and 100 and tell them to sit down. So the people all sat down upon the grass and they watched Jesus as he took into his hands the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes which the boy had brought. He looked up to heaven to thank his father and he blessed the food. He then broke the loaves and the fishes and gave the pieces to the apostles. They went among the people and gave to everyone bread and fish as much as each needed. So they all ate and had enough. Then Jesus said, Gather up the pieces of food that are left so that nothing may be wasted. 12 baskets of food were left. The crowds rushed towards our Lord to take him and force him to be their king. But he hid himself from the people.
One of the most amazing things about Jesus was the way he treated sinners.
The story of the adulteress. Early one morning, Jesus went to the temple, and the people started coming to him. Sitting down in the temple precinct, he began to teach them. The scribes and Pharisees came and brought a woman before him. They said, "Master, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. According to the law, Moses commanded such women to be stoned to death. What do you have to say about her?" They were asking this question to trap Jesus, so that they could accuse him of something. Jesus stooped down and began to write with his finger in the dust of the ground. When they continued to ask their question, Jesus straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who has never sinned throw the first stone at her." Then Jesus stooped down again and continued writing with his finger on the ground. One by one, the audience drifted away, beginning with the elders. This left Jesus alone with the woman, who continued to stand before him. "Where are they all?" he asked. "Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus to her. "Go home and do not sin again."
Jesus was not a hermit. He had many good friends in his life, both men and women.
The story of Jesus with Martha and Mary, Lazarus raised from the dead. While Jesus was teaching in Jerusalem, he often went out of the city to the village of Bethany on the Mount of Olives. There he stayed with the family of Martha, her sister Mary, and their brother Lazarus. These were friends of Jesus, and he loved to be with them. One day, while Jesus was at their house, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. Martha was busy with work and full of cares. She went back and forth, preparing food and arranging the house. When Martha saw Mary, she said to Jesus, "Lord, is it right that my sister should leave me to do the work alone? Tell her to help me." But Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, and yet only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the best part, and it will not be taken away from her." Another time, Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, their brother, was sick. 2 days later, Lazarus died. Now Mary heard that Jesus was coming, and she went to meet him. Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall be alive again." "I know that he will be alive again in the resurrection at the last day," said Martha. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Master," said Martha. "I believe that you are the Christ, Son of God." Now Mary came and bowed in sorrow at the feet of Jesus. And seeing her tears and the grief of friends who stood there, Jesus wept. And he came to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone at the entrance. "Take away the stone," said Jesus. "But Master," cried Martha, "Lazarus has been dead and in the tomb for the past 4 days. He will stink." Jesus said, "Have I not said to you, believe and you will see the glory of God?" So they moved away the stone, and Jesus turned to God in prayer. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. Yet I say this because of the people standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." Then he called with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the man who had been dead came out. Though his hands and feet were still wrapped with linen, Jesus said to those who were there, "Unbind him and set him free." Jesus' followers didn't always understand all of his teachings completely. So when Jesus was crucified and buried, they were frightened and confused. Where was this kingdom that Jesus preached about? How could their teacher be dead? But Jesus did not let them down.
Jesus appears to two disciples. The Sunday after Jesus had died and was buried, two followers of Jesus were walking out of Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. One of the men was called Cleopas. While they were talking over the happenings of the week, they saw that a stranger was walking beside them. It was Jesus, their risen Lord, but they did not know him. They spoke of the way that Jesus was crucified and then said, "But we were hoping that it was he who should redeem Israel. And this is the third day since these things have been happening." Then the stranger said to them, "Did not the Christ have to suffer these things before entering into his glory?" Then, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, Jesus explained to them those passages throughout Scripture that were about himself. He talked until they came to the town of Emmaus, where the two men were going to stay. Jesus gave the impression that he meant to go on farther, but they stopped him with the words, "Do stay with us. It is nearly evening and the day will soon be over." After Cleopas and his friend prepared some food, the three of them sat down to supper. Jesus blessed the bread and gave it to them. All at once their eyes were opened, and they saw that it was Jesus. While they looked, he vanished from their sight. Cleopas and his friend looked at one another and said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They got up immediately and returned to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 apostles and the entire company assembled. The two disciples were greeted with, "The Lord has been raised. It is true. He has appeared to Simon." Then they recounted what had happened on the road and how they had come to know the Lord in the breaking of bread.
After his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, Jesus' apostles continued to preach the good news, but mostly only to other Jews. Jesus wanted the whole world to know his message, though, so he called one more apostle, Saul, whom we now know as St. Paul. And we have a clip of the conversion of St. Paul.
In the time of the first Christian, there was a man named Saul. Full of hatred, he persecuted the Christians and tried to kill them. He took many of them to prison, both men and women. He had given approval to the stoning of Stephen, one of the Christians. Now he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians there and to take them to Jerusalem as prisoners.
"Tomorrow we will arrive in Damascus. The Christians there are going to have to look out. Let's hope there is enough space in the prisons of Damascus."
On the following day,
"Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do."
"Oh, what happened? I can't see anymore. I'm blind. Where are you?"
"What's happened? We will lead you to Damascus." That was a stone.
In the market, there was a disciple named Ananias. God called him in a vision and told him to go to Saul. Ananias was a little scared at first, but he had heard about how Saul was persecuting the Christians. But God told him he had a big plan with Saul, and so Ananias went to Saul. Paul had also seen in a vision that Ananias was come.
Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yay, I can see again.
Paul, who was later called Paul, became a Christian and traveled to many countries to tell people about Jesus.
So that's all the good parts of the Bible. And these are the stories that we think are important, but there are thousands more throughout the Bible. Next week we're going to talk about what exactly the Bible is and what it's made up of and how Catholics interpret the Bible and how we read it. And that's it.
So that was a very quick skimming right through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Keep those stories in mind. You will get a digital copy of this. Maybe you want to revisit them. And I want you to pay attention to some of the keywords that were used here because they'll keep coming up.